you eat chips when you were a kid?
With your hosts, Matt Moore and Matt Mastromano. Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
All those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
And brutal takes on music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Measure.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
Radio Transitions!
That was so smooth, that transition right there.
That was good.
All right, welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Mm. This is Brutal Brunch, an hour of local metal and all things related to metal, and we yell about a bunch of things.
Yeah.
We will have our concert calendar, Brutal or Not Brutal, among other things, coming up. And but first, we kick things off with some brand new Acacia Strain. That was the latest track released off of their upcoming album, Gravebloom. That was Big Sleep, and you can catch that full album out on June 30th. So we have you well prepped, well in advance for that, for the new stuff from those guys.
Yep.
Check it out. All right, if you want to call in here, numbers are 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. You don't have your chimes for your sound effects in this.
Bing!
It's lame.
Oh, wait, I do, actually. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. We'll keep going. So before we get into like some other news items, do you have anything this week? Any?
Nothing this week. Any
walking around your house with the knife stories this week?
No thoughts that people were invading my home. Kind of a laid back week. Actually, it was really busy for me at work, so I really didn't get to think about or do anything. I did see this morning when I was kind of browsing through the Metal Sucks, our unofficial sponsor, that the backing band for Baby Metal was making their own album, which is exciting because we were talking about this on the way up the stairs here. Is it like, I like Baby Metal. I think it's fine. Like, it's like sometimes...
I love it.
Sometimes, I don't know if you saw that Drake meme that's like Drake listening, then Drake like pushing them away, then Drake like really enjoying it. Sometimes I'm Drake pushing Baby Metal away. I'm just like, that's enough for now. Not right now. But the backing band is like very...
legit.
Technically skilled. Yeah. Like they always seem like it's very clean and there's like a lot going on. So I'm kind of interested to hear how they would sound.
Yeah, do you know if they're touring over here?
I don't know if they're even going to tour, if it's just going to be an album. It seems like it's going to be an album with a lot of guests coming on and they'll just put it out.
That makes
sense. They're going to be called Kame Band or God Band.
Yeah, that's what they're called. I'm glad that they got out there.
Yeah.
But and then some more local news. The boys in Vanna are calling it quits. They are breaking up. You can see them one last time, June 15th at the Bright Music Hall again.
No, I'm thinking of Stiletto Bomb are married or were.
Yes.
Okay, that's totally different.
That's very different. It's a punk band. They're in like 40 different bands to themselves.
Okay. Why are they breaking up?
I forget how Metal Sucks put it, but like, yeah, they're just a point in their lives where the grind of the tour is not no longer suitable for their goals.
Too much.
What they want to do, yeah.
Everyone doing solo stuff?
Not solo, but I mean, I think there's like some family raising going on and that sort of thing. And
that's good.
I'm sure they'll be exploring other projects too, but that's like the big local news. Another band, done, gone. We saw them at...
Yeah, I know. I've seen them. I just don't know why I couldn't... I get confused. I'm old. I woke up this morning at 5:30 because I'm old, and I feel like when you get old, you don't need to sleep as much anymore. Also, I was talking on the phone in my right ear, and I was like, what the hell's wrong with this? It was like one of those like answering robots, and I'm like, I can't hear this damn answering robot at all. And then put it in my left ear, and I was like, oh, I can't hear. So I think I'm going a little bit deaf in my right ear.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. And speaking of going deaf.
Sorry.
Nice.
That's the chime.
If only you had that queued up earlier.
Sorry.
Now it's... But you can do it for this, because this is some very exciting stuff. We have New Oceano is coming out.
Yes, always.
And I don't know why these bands always have to tour on holidays. Like, there was a Revocation show a couple years ago that was on Easter Sunday.
Oh, it's the earth getting swept away. I'm flying.
Oceano is coming around on Mother's Day in a couple weeks.
That stinks. Why can't they not do that?
So, if
Come
you
on
want...
another day.
This is... If you need... ideas for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Take your mom to Oceano and tell her the truth about the aliens.
Go to the Palladium. It'd be an enlightening experience.
Who else is going
to
be at that show? Do you know?
I did, but I don't have it in front of me right now.
Damn it.
It's a legit show.
Yeah.
I mean,
like Oceano.
You should go.
I think Oceano... Do you think the Metal Sucks people don't like them or they're just having fun times? Because I think they're fine.
I honestly don't know.
It's weird.
I can't tell if it's an elaborate joke that I'm not in on or what.
I'm missing something. I'm too stupid to understand this.
All right, let's play some more local music.
Yeah.
Another brand new track. I love what Steve Roski looks like at the very beginning of this video.
Offensive.
But this is the band Mutoid Man. They have an album coming out. Kiss of Death out later this... I'm sorry, War Moans out later this May. The song that they've released ahead of time is Kiss of Death. And they posted a video of them playing in studio, and we will play it for you right now. So again, this is Brutal Brunch, WMFO, Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Stay tuned for This Week in Metal History, our concert calendar, Brutal Not Brutal, and much else. Enjoy. We're going to turn
Vanna.
Down the Oceano.
Never mind. I
don't know who you're thinking of.
I had them crisscrossed in my mind. That's how my mind works. It was
a good indication.
I was like, it's too early.
All right, so we'll turn down the Oceano here, and I'll switch it over to Mutoid Man again. This is the latest from them. This is called Kiss of Death off of the upcoming War Moons on Brutal Brunch.
up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. But we got options tonight. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
We were talking about War and Death Magnetic at the same time.
We were, basically making the cultural connections as to how Saint Anger parallels life.
Tick, tick, tick,
essentially.
April 30th to May 6th. This
I forgot what bet I had queued up, so we're going to take a quick time out before we get to that.
That was a good song, though. Mutoid Man rules. You got me all set. I'm just like a Pavlovian response.
So we had the new song from Mutoid Man, Kiss of Death, off of War Moans. Then we had another new song from The Summoned, not to be confused with Summoner, but The Summoned. That was their latest track, Fractal Patterns. And you can catch that off the upcoming album Sessions, which drops on June 16th. And they premiered that song on Decibel. So you know the hot call.
Yeah. It's a good song. Two good songs in a row. And the video for Mutoid Man song was hilarious. I actually really enjoyed that. And then we started screaming about the war in Iraq. So sorry. All right, so the sound of everyone's favorite band, Hammerfall, means that it's time.
Off curtain jerking with Hammerfall, with the power metal.
Curtain jerking Hammerfall. No, that's not true. April 30th through May 6th, things I found interesting in the history of metal. I cannot find a date for this, so I am going to play it. This is sometime in May of 1993, Norwegian black metal band Satyricon released their debut album, Dark Medieval Times. This is Into the Mighty Forest from your boys Satyricon, who have stayed around. I think the thing with them is they're one of the first bands from this era and genre, whatever, Norwegian second wave black metal, to sign with a major label. And I think as the years have gone by, they've kind of not strayed, but normalized a lot of their music.
Yeah, they always pop up. They're one of those bands that I didn't really know of, and they pop up on top 10 lists. You have something other than Satyricon going.
Biscuits playing in the background.
The remix.
Spoilers. I'm doing remix. Mashups on the radio live.
Some scratch and sniff with metal. But yeah, you hear Satyricon, you're like, well, they're either a Finnish power metal band, or they're like an industrial band. It's
very industrial now. Yeah, very industrial. And they have a new song, or not new, newish, that's just King. That's I was really getting into. It was King. Dude. And they just sing about Baphomet, but it's very industrial sounding.
Moonspell had an awesome song about Baphomet.
You know,
the Baphomet.
Let's talk about Baphomet, how good he is. What a great statue that is. I was actually in Salem, as you know, I'm working in Salem. I was walking. I take a walk at lunch, just get away from my desk. And I saw a kid with a My Missing Half shirt. And I had my suit on. I had my suit on. So I was like, that's a good sweatshirt. I don't know how to say that without looking like a cop or something. April 30th, 1984, Motley Crue releases the single Too Young for Love. Part of the long kind of creepy tradition, for some reason, of 80s hair metal really liking underage girls. Do you understand this? why is this a thing? Do you have any theories on this? I don't.
I have none.
When I was first dating my girlfriend Maggie, and she's like, what kind of music do you like? I'm like, kind of everything, but I really like metal. And she's like, what's the deal with hair metal songs that are just about underage chicks? I'm like,
that's a hell of a question to start with.
I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And so Too Young for Love. I mean,
you can make that connection going back to baby metal, like we were talking about this morning.
But baby metal.
On our way in. I mean, it's not the subject matter.
Right. It's not the subject matter. It's the band. Yeah. We're talking about Vince Neil just running around being like, you're 16, but I'm going to sex you. Why? Don't do that. It's odd. April 30th, 2003, Metallica plays at San Quentin to support the release of their album Saint Anger. I think we're talking, this is my favorite.
That's the Saint Anger video.
Yeah, that is the Saint Anger video at San Quentin. One of my favorite, modern Metallica bands. It's one of those things where it's like, what is modern Metallica? They've been going for 30 plus years. What do you define as early? 80? 82.
The Cliff Burton days.
Cliff Burton, and then it's modern. Basically, is Reload modern or is Black Album modern?
I guess it depends on who you're talking to. The metal. The
I
purist
guess if I'm
will
talking
say
to someone in their 50s,
they sold out with the black metal right. Or with the black metal, the Black Album.
The Black Album. Saint Anger. It's the longest gap between albums for Metallica, 6 years. This is my favorite song from that album.
Of all time?
It's going to be my favorite song of all time by anyone. This is Frantic from Saint Anger. I think what I liked about this album the most is how the drums
sound. Drum production.
Yeah. I like the drum production because it sounds more raw. And I think the next album by Metallica, Death Magnetic, I think was infamously overmixed to like just be louder. So they like jacked everything up, so you didn't get the like raw sound of the drum. It just sounded like, and I think that's why the Guitar Hero version of Death Magnetic was the one that people wanted, because they separated the tracks. Interesting thing.
But I actually, back in the day when this album came out, I played baseball with a drummer, and he was all about this.
Of this album?
Yeah.
Because of the drums?
He loved the drums.
I know what I'm talking about, even though I confused Vanna with the little bum this morning. May 2nd. Oh, the other thing that's funny about, obviously, is that that's the Some Kind of Monster era of Metallica, where they were in that documentary where it was just five, you know, men meeting in different boardrooms saying what they wanted on the album. And I think the reason why we love Frantic is, so at a certain point, Hetfield just goes, my lifestyle determines my death style, which is basically the cliff notes of all religious thought. And he's like, well, I really started to get into Buddhism, so I'm basically a Buddhist. And like, so anytime someone says, like, anytime some discussion about Buddhism comes up, I like to bring that up. May 2nd, 2006, Norwegian black metal band Enslaved releases the album Rune, the ninth full-length album. It was given the Spellman Award by Norway in 2006 for its best achievement in the metal genre. Ivar Bjørnson and Elnar Sveldik were commissioned by the Norwegian government, actually, to create a musical piece in celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Norwegian Constitution. I listened to a bunch of this album. It's good. It's good. It's too clean.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, it's too... it's too produced. Like, it's very good. Like, I like it. The vocals are too clean for me.
Okay.
But I like
it. I can see his take, because they are, like, a very, very good band. Very talented band.
No.
Still putting stuff out.
It's like, I know you're
they're
a
rap. Like, they're like epics.
Oh, yeah.
The songs.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that, listening to this album. I know you're not a rap fan, but it's like when people are like, Kendrick Lamar's new album is like unbelievable, and I listen to it, I'm like, this is extremely impressive, but it like doesn't affect me emotionally. Like, as I'd rather listen to like an idiot rapping and be like, yes,
like ICP.
Yeah, that's me. May 30th, 1986, 16-year-old Michael Jeffrey Walter from Georgia ended his life allegedly interrupting a house party to tell everyone to look as he wrote a suicide note, shooting the refrigerator and then shooting himself. Later, his dad found out that he was listening to Ozzy Osbourne's The Blizzard of Oz, which contains the song Suicide Solution. And as a result, his family sued Ozzy Osbourne, and the trial went on for... the criminal trial started, which was thrown out, and then there was a later civil trial against Ozzy, alleging essentially that the album drove the kid to suicide. Eventually, this was added to a couple other lawsuits against Ozzy for the same reasons that, you know, he had... incited violence or suicide.
Wait, what year was this again?
86.
Because that was like happened 15 years later with Blink-182.
Yep. And it's eventually thrown out with a number of other of these suits where it went all the way to the Supreme Court and it was thrown out on a First Amendment grounds. All right. You got a secret preview of it earlier, but May 3rd, 2005, your boys Limp Bizkit released The Unquestionable Truth.
Oh, no.
An album I've never heard. I've never even attempted to hear it.
Oh, really? You didn't know about it? It dropped while we were in college, I think, right?
That's probably why I didn't hear it.
One of our roommates was all pumped about it, and we tried to listen to it. It was like,
oh, really? Which one? Can you just give me a hint? Who was pumped about it?
Oh, well, who do you think?
Kevin.
Hamilton.
Mark! Amazing. So, it's the first album to come back with Wes Borland after he left the band in 2001.
That's right. Blacklight Burns.
It's allegedly focused on more important themes, like the Catholic sex scandal, abuse. Anyway.
Actually, no, I guess
it's fine.
What was it? They came up with another album, like, recently.
The Chocolate
more
Starfish
recently.
And the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Yeah, like Golden Serpent or something. And that was awful. Unlistenable.
This is like...
Gold Coat.
Honestly, this is... fine, whatever. May 4th, 99, Black Label Society, first album, Sonic Brew. Zach Wilde. I want to know what Zach Wilde smells like. I'd like to be in a room with Zach Wilde. This is Oh man, what is this? That's a song. Black Wilde. The thing with Black Label Society is anytime I hear that, like, wah, 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 I just think of Zach Wilde. So anyone else who does that, you can't? I don't know. That's weird.
I think I've told you about my Black Label Society experience, right? When I went to see Seven Dust.
No.
So we saw Dope and Seven Dust open up for these guys at House of Blues. And so we were like...
Oh, I can imagine.
Down in the pit for the first couple bands. And then Black Label Society starts to come on, starts warming up, setting up, whatever. And there was like an entire sea change.
Yes.
Like... My people all like backed
off. The black sweatshirt people leave.
The black sweatshirt people leave, and the
Sons of Anarchy fan club walks in.
The bikers come in.
Yeah, I respect black.
We actually left and met LeJean from Seven Dust out on Lansdowne Street.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Matt.
By the way, can I just interject real quick?
Go ahead.
Are we aware that Limp Bizkit?
Yes, this is what
is supposed
to
be releasing a new album called Stampede of the Disco Elephants.
No.
And it's been dubbed the Chinese Democracy of New Metal due to its various delays and the fact that it's not come out yet, despite releasing singles as far back as 2013.
Praise be.
April 16th, 2013, so it's almost this week in metal.
Damn it.
Continue.
Matt, May 4th, 2009, metalcore Sweet Boys Hatebreed released For the Lions.
Oh, I love this album.
The cover album, and I was going to say...
Oh, man, their cover of the Metallica song, what's it called? Escape. So good.
Well,
and the Misfits.
Okay, I was going to play the Black Flag cover. I was going to say, did you want to hear the Cro-Mags by Hatebreed? But this is Thirsty and Miserable by Black Flag as covered by Hatebreed. And it's good. I mean, this is good.
Their cover of Escape by Metallica is better than Metallica's version.
Unbelievable.
And Hatebreeders by Misfits is just so good.
See? Yeah. I mean, I like the Misfits.
I actually like probably their version of Hatebreeders better than Misfits.
You're a nightmare.
Pride of Connecticut.
May 4th.
Oh, sorry. But I'll just say that Jamie Josta will come up later in the show.
Amazing. May 4th, 2010, Dokken releases their greatest hits album. This was an excuse for me to play Into the Fire again. That'll come back, obviously, while we're going through the concert calendar. Hang on. May 4th, 2010, your mans Sully and Godsmack take a break from shooting guns with Charlie Moore, the Mad Fisherman, to release The Oracle after a four-year break. Have you heard this album?
I'm sorry, what?
The Oracle by Godsmack.
Oh, of course I have.
I would assume you did.
The album of Love, Hate, Sex, Pain.
Yes, it is.
And Crying Like a Bitch.
This is Good Day to Die off that album, a song that I like better than those two songs. Bah, bah, bah. I just want to have that vocals kick in. This makes me want to play pickup hockey. May 6, 2003, Anthrax releases We've Come For You All. Which is features a lot of guest spots, including a very late guest spot by the Dimebag Darrell. This is Nobody Knows Anything, which is accurate.
Very.
All right. That's this week in metal.
That's it.
We're going to go back to Dokken for the concert list.
I'm going to throw on some Godsmack.
Oh,
all right. Very quickly, because it's a very short list. Tonight at the Spotlight Tavern in Beverly, it is Jeff's 40th with Swarm of Eyes, I Was Awake, and Made in New England, an Iron Maiden cover band.
Ooh.
Tomorrow, Sunday, May 7th, House of Blues has Killswitch Engage, Anthrax, The Devil Wears Prada, and Code Orange. That is quite the bill. On Monday...
Did that Code Orange girl ever recover who got, like, punched?
Oh, I don't know.
That was
I haven't gotten any recent updates, but yeah, she got roundhouse kicked.
Windmill
kicked.
Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I do not have any updates on her. And to be clear, it was a fan, not the lead singer.
No, right, yes.
And Monday, May 8th at House of Blues, it's Mastodon, Eagles of Death Metal, and Russian Circles.
Oh.
Thursday, May 11th at Shenanigans Pub is Cryptus, Beneath the Machine, Lost of the Waves, and Miss Invader. And Friday, May 12th at Gemstones, you can see Dark Reign, Averst, Eden's Lie, Devil Night Out, and hey, Cryptus again.
And you can see Black Reign on TNA.
Arctic Fox.
Yeah. You will not see Black Reign on TNA.
I just want to say that I witnessed the Black Reign Kazarian feud and it was one of the greatest feuds of all time.
Yes.
All right.
Agree.
We'll swing it back over to you for Black Metal Song of the Week.
Black Metal Song of the
Week.
Are
you going to play it or should I play it?
You can play it. Because right. Black Metal Song of the Week is Dark Castle in the Deep Forest off of Dark Medieval Times from Satyricon. I had one note for this, which it sounds like it was filmed in Satan's Bathtub. I really like this song. And Matt points out, which is accurate, that the album art looks like it was drawn by a goth teen.
Teen goth in the back of the classroom.
He's very angry and wanted to draw sick dragons and stuff.
Yep. All right, here you go. Stereocom, Black Metal Song of the Week on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Well, that was talking about Black Metal Song of the Week. Dark Castle in the Deep Forest. Off of Dark Medieval Times, which is what we're currently living in.
Yes.
That, yeah, where are they from again? Norway?
Norway.
There you go. And I won't dispute you on that. So, we're about to get on some Brutal Not Brutal. If you want to chime in, numbers here are 855-905-9636 or 781-350-3264. We have at least one more new song to get to. But until then, let's talk about some issues.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Should we start off big or light? Like heavy or
you
light?
You start off how you feel. You run it. You do it.
All right, let's stick with metal to start.
Okay.
So I mentioned Jamie Jaster would come up again. He, yes. Lead singer of Hatebreed, has a pretty well-known podcast where he has lots of well-known guests on. One of his recent guests was Alyssa White Glues. I don't know how to pronounce that name. But formerly of The Agonists, currently of Arch Enemy.
Yep.
She replaced Angela Gossow on vocals.
She was on Made, I Want to Be a Metal Singer.
That's right, you were saying that. but anyway, she went on, and so she left The Agonists, I believe, in 2014, and for whatever reason decided on the podcast to just go off on The Agonists and say how basically she and Angela had everything worked out so that she could be in both bands, and all this stuff. She said that she had to sign like a non-disclosure agreement, so she couldn't tell The Agonists what band she was joining, but she was working with Camelot, I believe, and she's like, I'm not going to work with Camelot anymore, I'm going to join this other band, but we worked out a schedule so I can still play with you guys too, meaning The Agonists.
Yeah.
And then she claims that at first everything was cool, but then she got shut out of all her social media accounts and all this stuff, and the band basically cold-shouldered her and were like, no, you can't do this, and were pissed and didn't let her back in, and wound up kind of behind her back getting a new singer. She was like basically saying that how she formed The Agonists and it was her baby, and then this new singer came in that she didn't even know, and when she was all fired up, and basically saying that there was bad blood with The Agonists.
Which
there is, bad blood. But anyway, so she says all that, and then so then The Agonists speaks out. They clap back, as the kids say.
Clap back.
And they're like, yes, it's true. She told us that she was joining a mystery band, which was really annoying because we couldn't do anything about this.
That's a little annoying.
But they're like basically like, no, she was being hella shady, and our hands were tied. We were supposed to come out with a new album, and the company's like, where's this new album? And they're like, well, she's trying to join this mystery band that we don't know and can't tell you because we don't know. And eventually they, I feel bad now because I can't remember the new singer's name, and then proceeded without her. And yeah, so they're speeding a story. I tend to agree.
I'm going to take the Agonists.
This is going to, well, I was going to say, this is going to make me sound like an MRA, but there's some
MRA, I'm just saying.
There's some
open communication.
There's some things in her story. Like, she's talking about social media accounts. She's like, I'm trying to contact Angela. I'm like, first of all, why wouldn't you just contact her yourself?
Call her. The bands. Call her agent.
But she's like, oh, my password changed. She's like, I like guessed the security code or something and got back in. I was like, that's kind of a big leap. Big leap in your story there. Yeah, it was like a very.
Look, you can.
I don't know. It's very some suspect things she says.
It's just unprofessional. Like, if you,
it's kind of strange for her to bring
I'm
it
in
up
in a band or like in a business or you know whatever. You know,
they've been Arch Enemy's been cruising along. The Agnes has been cruising along.
They're just cruising along, like live. But I'm saying, like, if you're like, I want to leave this band and go to this other band, or I want to try to do two things at the same time, like, why not just like, what is lost by her just being like, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to take over for this band, and they'd be because then they could be like, yes, no, okay, much like Steve Perry from Journey said. Back surgery, it's not a group decision, but other things should be a group decision.
There you go. And I guess too, like, that one of the, she says that they worked out a schedule where she could tour both bands at the same time, and The Agonists is like, no, you made us cancel a bunch of dates because
this is dumb.
Yeah,
look, the most brutal thing is to be open and honest with your friends. We're here for a short time on earth, so don't make stuff up, don't intentionally hold stuff back, just like
tell people. We're all about transparency.
You're gonna find out, and it's be worse for nothing.
So, brutal or not brutal, The Agonists versus Arch Enemy beef.
It's not brutal. Get better representation.
Well, better. You can't get better representation than Angela Gossow.
I mean, get me.
All right. Let's talk about wrestling, because we never do that on the show. Your boy, Billy Corgan.
Yes, my boy.
The NWA. But,
yes, he did.
Not the rap group, but the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yes. From a lawyer, because it's in a receivership.
Very unclear what this all means.
Yes.
Because I guess he has rights to the titles and the NWA, but the NWA.
You can market the term NWA.
Yeah. But the NWA is not what it was in.
It is not what it was from 40 years ago.
Jim Crockett Promotions. Yeah. And.
I am in my 30s, and I never really saw any of the NWA.
As well, so. Not even in its more modern form, where there were like 8 NWAs, including TNA at one point.
The thing when I see, they started like NWA Wildside and all
like
that crap.
Christian Cage? Christian Cage, little known fact, he was not originally TNA World Champion. He was NWA World Champion.
It's ridiculous. And then if you remember in the 90s, too, there would be like times they break from WWF pay-per-views. They'd be like, here's the NWA Tag Team Champs. And people would be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. What? And even, yeah.
The Rockers.
The last thing I had heard about, the last time I thought about the NWA was the Scrap Daddy, Rock, Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce.
Yep.
Best of seven series with your boy Colt Cabana for the NWA title in 2011.
Boys. My boy Colt Cabana, my boy Billy Corgan. My thing with the NWA is, what is he going to do with it? Like, what is he?
That's a big question.
Does he start another indie promotion?
Originally, he wanted to buy TNA, and TNA was like, no, we're going to sell it to the Racist Harris twins instead. So Billy Corgan took him to court and lost. So his retaliation is to buy the NWA, and we will see what.
I guess he could just.
Maybe he'll feud with Global Force Wrestling.
I guess I'll say this about the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, is if you were trying to market indies to casual fans, to me, who just know WWE, for example, it's easier to say, here's my indie fed. What's it called? The National Wrestling Alliance. It's not called, like, This Is Progress. You know, or like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, just like the way that kids have been naming their indies is just so, like, odd. Like, they're not naming it like leagues. They're not like the WWF, the WCW, the even like TNA is dumb. That's not like a thing. But it's like, if you want to like follow the sport model, National Wrestling Alliance sounds like a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Evolve is a great, I'm not saying anything about Evolve. It's like a wrestling show. I love Evolve and I love Beyond. But it's not like, it doesn't sound like a league. It doesn't sound like a wrestling league. So I guess if you want to go from that angle, but then again, where is he going to get his talent from? Like, what's he going to do with it? You know,
I have to say the best company name that I think is Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, because it's just bad.
That is a good name, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla,
which is like, you know, gorilla spelled G-U-E.
Yep.
But they have a gorilla as their logo.
Yep. And they would just do like pop up stuff, right? That was their thing. They just do like big super shows.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And they're still going West Coast though. Anyway, so Brutal Not Brutal, Billy Corgan buying the National Wrestling Alliance.
Brutal, I don't know.
Can you think of that in the early 90s that your boy from Smashing Pumpkins was going to buy this, third biggest wrestling company at the
Twitter
time.
Twitter joke was, both the NWA and Billy Corgan have been irrelevant since 1979.
All right, now we're going to get into, tread into some political news, like,
oh, yeah,
as we do. Let's start off with Boston. Being mad racist.
I don't know if that's political. It's just kind of dumb.
Well, people turn into political issues.
Oh, yes.
But Boston, racist or no?
We're the most racially segregated
city. We'll get into context eventually. But
we're the most racially segregated city I've seen. Big city. Like, big major city.
As Caleb Joseph said recently, can't wait to get the hell out of Boston. Caleb Joseph of the Baltimore Orioles. As everything... Well, there's been things. Boston has racist history. What can you say when it comes to sports? Right. The Yawkeys.
The so Bruins had a black dude before the.
That is true. It's like the flip of baseball, because the Red Sox are the last team to integrate.
Yep.
But so yes, in case you somehow missed it, Adam Jones of the.
I kept saying Andrew Jones. It was the 90s.
Of he was sick back in the day. Yes, but anyway, Adam Jones, kind of like Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
Was called the N-word at Fenway Park, and which led to a big thing. Basically, he makes a.
Can I just say he was allegedly called the N-word?
Okay, Kurt Schilling.
Okay, he was allegedly.
Okay,
called
Kurt.
That.
Okay,
he
Kurt.
Said it. It's an allegation.
He said it, and then a bunch of white guys were like, "Well, there's no video of this man saying this."
That's the thing that I don't like is the like truther force of right. Like, let's get down to the bottom of this. I'm like, at the end of the day, it's like. He's saying he said it. Did it
not
happen? Yes or no? Not the first person
David
to say
Price
it.
David Price said it before this, and it's kind of was like, confirmed by Dan Shaughnessy.
And it's kind of like if someone said it, they said
gotta,
it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it has to be like a proof. Like with
CC Sabathia has heard it.
Yeah,
A lot of players coming out. Basically, like when we go to Boston, we know this is going to happen. And so they have all the defensive white people, and
because that makes you look worse, right?
Yeah, that's it makes like, you look.
Because they're like, not all Boston fans. Like, I probably look like most Boston fans in that I'm a pudgy white guy with a Red Sox hat. But I don't think Adam Jones, not Andrew Jones, says, I heard the N-word in the stadium, I don't take that as a personal attack on me, because I'm like, that's not a thing I would do. So I kind of let it wash off me and be like, well, that's horrible. Like, I hope that if I were in the situation, I saw that guy, I would have been like, hey, cut it out. Or
well,
like...
You, even worse than that is the very next day. So Adam Jones got a standing ovation, including from one Mookie Betts.
That's weird.
In his first at bat. And then you had basically, the Red Sox did, I guess, as much as I hate the Red Sox, they responded pretty well to this incident. But they had a woman, was it from Kenya?
I think she's from Nigeria.
Nigeria. That's problematic. I'm sorry.
So problematic.
But she sang the national anthem.
I'm calling the free speech police on you.
She sang the national anthem, and as one does in Boston, man was there with his father, who's black.
And he's a reporter for the Globe.
His father-in-law. And he was there with his mixed race son.
Yeah.
And a guy leaned over and dropped an N-bomb in regards to the national anthem.
Yeah.
Like the very next day. And he got banned for life from Fenway Park.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Good looks. Good looks, Boston.
The real issue is the fact that there's like two Bostons. Not that there's like people who like say crazy words. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I feel like this drives the conversation. Will
someone please think of the Kirk Minahans of the world
in
and
the
what
wrong
this,
way.
What the, how this
yeah.
is hurting them.
No, you know
making
what I'm,
them
you
cry.
Know what I'm
Bert
talking
Breer,
about. Like,
poor Bert Breer.
The idea of like...
You should start a Twitter beef with all...
These guys are...
We're going to move up from like trying to start
worst.
A feud with EMF. We're going to go like straight after EEI and the NFL Network.
These guys are the dirt worst.
All right. So last... Well, we got two other things. We'll say... Let's talk about what's happening tomorrow is an election in France that you may have heard of.
I have. I can't...
Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say that. And your girl, Marine Le Pen. Mm. Are running for president, and surprise, surprise, Macron, the non-racist, was hacked by the Russians. And
was he though?
Yeah.
Okay. For it, sure, hacked.
For
hacked.
Sure.
Not
yes.
like they're putting out stories.
Hacks and leaks and all that.
They got into his stuff and like disseminated stuff.
And also, surprise, surprise, the far left candidate who lost in the runoff election is telling his supporters that you can't vote for Le Pen, but he's not telling them to vote for Macron either.
Really crazy.
It's kind of what happened here.
It is kind of exactly what happened here.
With all these.
And like.
Take my ball and go home, Jill Stein voters.
Le Pen's got a lot of that like weird 4chan support and like, do you know what I'm saying? Like that internet far right stuff. I don't know anything about them.
So all, for all our
I don't
French,
know anything about Macron.
For all our either. French listeners.
Yeah.
Bro Brunch endorses Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, I just co-sign whatever you say.
Everybody freaked out because his wife is like 15 years older. She was like his teacher
like
back in the day or something. Or
cool?
Or they worked together. I forget what it was.
Whatever.
And so everyone's like, ugh.
I'm not concerned about people's personal lives.
It's also hilarious that the other guy that was like the front runner initially just got totally tanked because he was a
when, the
scandalous,
election is
scandalous
on a
idiot.
Sunday.
Yeah. You know, kind of shocking that you would have your election when people can actually go out and vote.
Interesting.
You know?
I was going to say,
what
why isn't it Tuesday
concept.
Morning?
Interesting concept. Basically, yeah. Don't be an idiot and vote for Macron because and vote for Le Pen because you're butthurt.
Yes.
And then back here, you referred to what is
God.
The point of Democrats?
What is the point of them? Although, at the same time though, then I see like good work by like Seth Moulton, who I genuinely enjoy. I think he's like a good congressperson.
Exactly.
With the whole.
So in case you didn't hear,
AHCA.
Healthcare was abolished this week. Literally nobody has health insurance anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Certain people definitely aren't going to have healthcare, and those are poor and sick people. Like so, you know, that's kind of was the goal yesterday, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It still has to make it through the Senate, so allegedly it's not going to, but...
good news, everybody. We got Ted Cruz rewriting healthcare
news,
for
Ted
us.
Ted Cruz is going to rewrite it, but the idea being, and it's unclear, but I mean, a lot of the Democrats, there's a lot of like chest pounding that, well, this essentially
like a bunch of losers.
I don't know if that's even true, but I saw that on the internet.
It was true
like,
because
was
I was watching C-SPAN live when it happened, and I heard the singing start. I was like, oh, the Republicans are singing about Obamacare.
See how hardcore
and
this guy is who's watching C-SPAN yesterday. Okay, that's fine. I mean, so like a lot of chest pounding is like this definitely got the.
It's not
GOP
as bad as
like
playing the Rocky theme and pounding Bud Lights in the Rose Garden.
Whatever. I mean, it's pathetic.
Yep.
Sorry.
All right. So we're going to end things with some brand new music.
Yeah.
Or not brand new technically, but it's a re-release music from the band Myth of I. They are they came out with an EP a couple years ago, and they are bringing you a new and improved version that they produced themselves to one of those things where they want to get more true to their sound and what they're about and re-release things. So the first track off this is STNL. And it's the full EP will be available on May 19th. This is an instrumental song. Like that? It's like instrumental metal. Instrumental. There you go. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Until then, stay brutal and enjoy the latest from Myth of I.
Oh, yeah.